This is North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. I'm Phoebe Judge. There are over 150 unsolved homicides in Durham, but unlike television, some of these cases take decades to solve. Earlier this year, the Durham Police Department decided to add a section to their website focusing on these unsolved homicides. Sergeant David Pyatt and Investigator Delois West are with the Durham Police Department's Homicide Investigation Unit, and they join me now to talk about the challenges posed when working on a case that's sometimes decades old and what they hope the website will do. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
Sergeant Pyatt, why did you decide to make this new section on your website?
The problem is that, as you mentioned, we've got over 150 unsolved homicides right now in Durham going back decades, and those people deserve some sort of closure just as much as the person whose family member or friend or relative was a victim of a homicide recently. So I don't think you can say that one person is more important than the other, that they all deserve closure.
Delois West, you are an investigator with the Durham Police Department. You've been there for a very long time, since the late 80s. What challenges do cases pose as they get older?
You know, trying to locate our witnesses, people pass away, trying to just locate family members can be difficult at times.
Because witnesses forget, because memories get old?
In some cases, yes.
Sergeant Pyatt, how do you determine which unsolved homicides to pursue? One would imagine that there are cases that seemingly look easier to solve than others.
I think it's a little dangerous to say that some seem easier than others on the just on the off the cuff. We typically look at a cold case when we get an inquiry from a relative or a family member or someone who calls about it with new information. We will look into that right away. The other things that we look at is we started looking at screening criteria on when we pull these cold cases out of storage and look at the actual case files, what do we have to work off of? And if we have something like blood or serological evidence, something that could be DNA typed, that's a very big thing right now because we didn't have DNA 20 years ago when these crimes were committed. Even 10 years ago, our DNA abilities were very, very limited. The other things are, do we still have the case file? In many cases, you know, if we have a case from the 70s or the early 80s, the case file may be partially intact or maybe partially missing, and that can be due to a number of things, such as problems in storage where maybe a mouse has gotten into the box, or it could be that the investigator that was the lead investigator in the case took his files with him when he retired.
Does that actually happen?
That does actually happen, and it's not just particular to our department. It happens across the nation. We found that file storage traditionally was not a strong point in many departments. But the other parts are, you know, are the notes available? Are the cases available? Do we have the evidence? I would say probably, and I would throw a ballpark number out there, that there's a good 75% to 90% of the cases that we have that are unsolved. We have a viable suspect or had a person of interest in the case. It's just at the time we did not have enough to charge them, or there wasn't enough evidence to support our claims. And that's what we're hoping a lot of times when revisiting the cases, that maybe we've either focused on the wrong suspect, or maybe now we have something we can test or an ability to look at something and say, hey, this guy did it, and now we have the proof.
One of the purposes of the new section on the website is to get people remembering and aware and can look at the picture of the victim and say, oh, that jogs something. Have you had any helpful tips come in from the website being up thus far?
We have.
Can you talk about what people are calling in? Do people just call in and say, hey, I remember seeing him? Or what are people saying when they call in?
They'll say, you know, I remember this. Or we even have some that will say, we thought that case was already, there'd already been arrest in that case. And there had not been.
And they're giving helpful information?
Yes. Yes.
So we mentioned that there are something like more than 150 unsolved homicides, which is just kind of a staggering number to think about with not only what's going on, you know, and more happen. What is the time period where you have the most unsolved homicides right now?
1991 to 1999, we have about 95 unsolved homicides.
Why is that? Why such a large increase?
During the 1990s, we had the advent of several things, one being the city was growing just like every other city, but we had the advent of crack cocaine that came into the community, and with it came a drug trade and the violence that drug trades bring. We also had a new population move again, in that folks that came in from out of the country, mostly from Mexico and south of the border areas, that were immigrating here for the first time. So we now have a population that it maybe is a little bit distrustful of the police from their experiences elsewhere, or that simply through inability to communicate in English sometimes can make themselves victims. But this all occurs, and at the same time, our staffing was still based on what we had in the 80s. So we have a detective that's getting a homicide, and the next day they're working on this homicide, and then the next day they're getting another. So, and then there's some days where, many a days where we had, you know, double homicides.
You have a list of some of these unsolved homicides that the department is working on. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about a couple of the individuals, a couple of the cases?
Mr. Bullock here was murdered in 1997. His case is still open. We're still, you know, trying to locate witnesses in the case. And, you know, his mother does. She is part of Parents of Murdered Children. And the desire that she has, she's passionate about that. And
She's not forgetting about it.
No, she's not.
I would imagine after all of these years, you do create relationships with the family.
You do.
And you're in contact so often that it all becomes rather familiar.
Yes.
You've been doing this for so long. How exhausting a job is being a homicide investigator? I can imagine that must be a rather trying job, but then also working on all these cases that are so old, where you're just grabbing for types of evidence and testimonies and such.
Mm-hmm.
Is it an exhausting job sometimes?
Can be. But it's a job I love to do.
It doesn't get old.
No.
What's a sense of accomplishment when you're actually, I know that there are many unsolved murders, but someone like this young gentleman, Bullock, mm-hmm. if you were able to call his mother one day and say, we got him, we got them, we figured it out. Is that something you think about, actually, these unsolved cases?
Yes. And I can't wait to be able to tell her that one day.
Thank you very much for being here. Sergeant David Pyatt and Investigator Dolores West are with the Durham Police Department's Homicide Investigation Unit. I'm Phoebe Judge, and this is North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.